Plans to build a national blues museum in downtown St. Louis were first announced in 2010. It's been a long road with many delays in bringing the project to fruition, but the long-awaited museum will open tomorrow with much fanfare. St. Louis on the Air contributor Steve Potter sat down with Rob Endicott, the board chairman of the museum, to talk about the museum and what's in store for visitors. He began by asking Endicott what makes this museum a one-of-a-kind institution.
There's no other institution that tells the entire story of the blues from a national perspective. There are other museums that tell a regional story, like the Delta Blues Museum. There are other museums that tell a story around an artist, like the B.B. King Museum in Indianola. But there's no museum that focuses on just the blues nationally and internationally.
And as I understand sort of the concept, you want to do two things, primarily entertainment and education?
That's right, yeah. I mean, I think it'll be a fun experience and be very entertaining, but you'll learn a lot about the blues as you go in. I mean, that's part of our interactives are really, I think people will learn about the structure of the blues and sort of get really engaged, and a lot of history, obviously, too. So
I had the chance to tour the facility last July when it was under construction. Really great space, I remember.
Yeah.
Something like, was it 23,000 square feet?
Yeah, 23,000 square feet in the old Stixberry and Fuller / Dillard, later Dillard's
right.
Department
so
store.
So there's some large rooms and things. When you walk in, what are you going to see and what's sort of the layout of the place?
So you walk in from Washington Avenue, and then on the immediate right, you can look into a little performance venue that seats about 150 with flexible seating, but that's on the right. And then as you go in, the first thing that you'll encounter after you buy your ticket is this wall of probably 50 blues musicians and just sort of, you know, right into the history of the blues and, you know, some old instruments and that sort of thing.
Well, how many musicians do you honor there? Do you know off the top of your head?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know how many we do because it's just all throughout the museum. It's not a Hall of Fame per se. It's just, you know, it's a story of the blues. So
will this be the type of thing where you'll be adding musicians as time goes on?
Oh, I think so, yeah. We'll be refreshing. And I've been through there many times, and it's a great experience. But I've been through there so many times that I can see, oh, we have a little space to do this. We can tell this story here. You know, we can cram something in this space. We don't want to overwhelm people, and I think it'll be great. But I think we will be adding. And we do have a temporary exhibit space, too, that we'll swap out and tell different stories.
A couple of moments ago, you mentioned interactive exhibits. Yeah. Maybe give us an example of some of those.
Yeah. So the one that's my favorite is a sort of several interactives that are all linked together. So you go in and you give yourself a blues name and you log in, you put your email address in, and you can write a blues lyric in the AAB structure. So there's all these word choices and you put together your own blues lyric and then your, you know, Blue Rob Endicott or whatever it is.
No musical talent needed?
No musical talent needed whatsoever. So you do that. And then there are a couple of different kiosks where you can add a harmonica riff to it, a piano riff to it, and a guitar riff to it. And then later at the end of the exhibit, there's a little mix it up space where you can do some rudimentary mixing. So you mix that all up. And you email it to yourself, and you got an MP3, you have an album cover. So, and then the next time you come to the Blues Museum, you can add another track to that.
Wow.
And it keeps you coming back for more. And you really, it's sort of a little bit like if your listeners have played Guitar Hero, it's a little bit like that. So you don't have to know anything about how to play the piano or the guitar. It's, you know, completely intuitive. But it's really pretty cool.
So what would some of the other interactive aspects be?
So there's a place sort of near the entrance where there's a jug band, and it's in honor of the street buskers. So you would walk in, and there's a band that's in, like, multiple screens. So you pick up the spoons or you pick up the bones or the washboard, and you press start, and then somebody comes on, and they say, hey, here's how you play the washboard. Here's, you know, washboard is pretty easy, but playing the bones is actually quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
and then so multiple people can do that, and then you can interact with each other. You go up on the screen instead of the performer, and then, you know, there's a little band that then plays a thing and you play along.
Is any of this sort of new technology, or where did these ideas come from?
Well, they came from the minds of our designers so we got hooked up early in the process with a great design firm that had designed the B.B. King Museum that I mentioned earlier. They designed the Grammy Museum, the Spy Museum in Washington, and they're experts at sort of music interactive experiences. And so they came up you know, they hired somebody who knew something about the blues, and then they sort of just collaborated on it together and developed this software. So it's not off the shelf. It's not like anything that you would see anywhere else. So
we're talking with Rob Endicott, the board chairman of the National Blues Museum. Just a second ago, you mentioned the B.B. King Museum. And when I was there during the construction phase last July, I had the chance to meet with the museum's executive director, Dion Brown. And I know he left a job running the B.B. King Museum, which is in Mississippi, is it?
Yep.
To come here.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering why he's a good fit.
Oh, he's a great – well, he knows how to run a music museum.
And he told me some great B.B. King stories, by the way.
Oh, yeah. So he's actually – his background is as a museum person. And I think he was at the Science Center in, I believe, Kansas City before he was at Indianola doing the B.B. King Museum. And so he really didn't know much about the blues music before he went to the B.B. King Museum. But B.B. was, you know, he was actually, he shortly after he came to us is when B.B. passed away. And he had told us when he came, he said, when that happens, because we knew that it was, you know, he was not well, he said, I have to go down and sort of, you know, be there for the family, because he really, he got to know them yeah. intimately. So he also got to know a lot of the blues performers personally. So Bobby Rush, for example, who's playing at our opening concert tonight. And so Bobby just, you know, shows up because he knows Dion. And Dion's really excited. That's actually a great story, personal story of Dion's, because he, you know, he was in, his wife was in Wichita. He was working in Indianola. So he was sort of commuting back and forth. And he's originally from Peoria, Illinois. So when he moved back to St. Louis, so as the family's reunited, he's much closer to, you know, where he grew up. And he's running a blues museum, so he's extremely happy.
Meant to be, I think.
I think that's right.
I think plans for this museum in St. Louis here was announced back in 2010. Was it a challenge to get it here, to sell the idea, the concept?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. So we didn't really ask anybody's permission to do it. We just decided to do it. Sort of a little bit like if people have been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, there's a video on loop at the beginning of that museum says Cleveland just basically decided to put it there. And so the space in that development on Washington Avenue became available. So we just decided to do it. I say we. It was really a little bit before I got involved in 2011 when the process had, you know, sort of gotten a few months underway. But I get the question that, you know, people say, well, why is St. Louis? It wouldn't, you know, shouldn't it be in Chicago, or shouldn't it be in Memphis or somewhere else? And our answer is always, we never make a claim that we're the best place for it or the only place that could be, but we're, you know, we have a legitimate place in the music history in St. Louis, so why not?
So maybe the location of the museum doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's right.
What's in the walls? Yeah. Is that what you're
that's
saying?
That's right. Yeah, so, but, it, you know, in terms of selling it, when you have a brand new institution and there's a lot of skepticism, we talk to people. A lot of people who said, that's a great idea. You know, it seems like it would really be a lot of fun. It seems like a great location and the concept is great. But let us know when, you know, you're a little bit further along. It's you know, nobody wants to be the first person in the pool. Mm-hmm. And so it was a challenge from that standpoint. So I say yes and no, because I don't think anybody heard the idea and said, that doesn't make any sense. You know, mm-hmm. You know, it's always hard to get something new going.
You talked about the interactive exhibits that are there. There are some other things that you sort of address I think are interesting too, like women's role in the blues, the Great Migration,
yeah.
and how that influenced it, and the British invasion. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was one of the stories that we wanted to bring out, the women and the early women blues stars, basically. And that's a little bit – it's kind of interesting because the blues is – you know, more recently been a very male-dominated genre. There's a lot of great – I mean, there's Bonnie Raitt and some and others, but for the most part – but the earliest blues stars were Ma Rainey, Bessie Smith. So we wanted to bring that story out, and they were the ones that sort of elevated the blues, and they were playing grand concert halls with, you know, beautiful gowns. And it's kind of an interesting story that they were really the first – big stars of the genre. And you talked about the Great Migration North, is that's on one of our favorite walls. There's all these suitcases, and if people have seen pictures, that's usually one that people like to take, and they that the wall of suitcases to illustrate and then some stories along the way of that.
And, of course, St. Louis is in that route of the Great Migration, so maybe that's the reason it's here.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
What about the British invasion, though? What's the link with that?
So, well, you know, the Rolling Stones especially, but other groups like the Yardbirds and the Beatles even. So early rock and roll, you know, if you go back to Chuck Berry, it's basically blues, you know, with just a little bit kind of a differentiated bass line and, you know, kind of a – but it really is a direct outgrowth of the blues. And it's those early Chuck Berry and Little Richard recordings, and we have a great Chuck Berry exhibit. It's just beautiful. But – it's the Stones and the Beatles. I think that the story of how Keith Richards and Paul McCartney met is that, you know, one of them saw the other one walking around with the Chuck Berry record. And
really?
That's
really?
Right. Yeah. And they covered a lot of those songs. And then the Rolling Stones toured and Muddy Waters opened for the Rolling Stones. So they actually sort of rediscovered that music, you know, in a certain sense and reintroduced it to American audiences through their own music.
Well, so in addition to the exhibits that you have currently at the museum, I know there are plans at least at some point for you to host traveling
yes,
exhibits.
Right, yeah. So the first one is going to be H.C. Porter's Blues at Home, and it's these very interesting and stylized portraits of living and more contemporary. Well, some have passed. Honey Boy Edwards is in there, but you know this. The painter has really captured some interesting things. So we're also in discussions with some other people about, you know, bringing in some interesting exhibits. We're hopeful that we'll be able to bring in some exhibits from the Grammy Museum, who assisted us along the way and just sort of providing us some support. You know, it's a tricky thing, though, because you got to meet certain standards for, you know, putting the exhibits up. And so it's not a space that was designed. We retrofitted an old space. We didn't design a new space. So trying to get those, you know, those climatic and other things addressed. It's a beautiful space. So I think it's going to really work out great.
Well, the public's going to have a chance to see that grand opening tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Right. They're going to shut down part of Washington Avenue. What's happening?
So there's going to be a band that's going to do a procession.
Normandy High School.
Yeah, Normandy. Yes, exactly. And they're going to do a little procession down the street. Then the mayor is going to speak. I'll introduce the mayor. And then there's a big red ribbon that'll, you know, the scissors will be cut at 10 a.m. And then there's a performance space in the museum. And there will be bands playing all day. So it's starting out with a very young band, 15, 16-year-old kids, and all the way up to David D., who's going to be, you know, David D.'s one of the – I'm a blues musician myself, and I played with David. And so it's going to be a real treat to see all those people just, you know, one after the other.
How excited are you about tomorrow?
Oh, really excited. It's been 5 years of hard work, and I didn't imagine it would actually – there were times when I thought, is this really going to happen?
I want to check one thing with you before I let you go. The National Blues Museum was voted as a top travel destination in 2016 by the New York Times, Smithsonian.com, and CNN. And this is even before it opened?
Yeah. I don't know.
Can you explain that?
No, I can't. I think the music is just very, you know, it's such a fundamental part of American popular music. We had, you know, Bonnie Raitt was in town a couple of weeks ago, and she did a little tour of the museum, and she fell in love with it, I think it's fair to say. So I think it just touches something, you know, deep in the American soul, this music.
That was National Blues Museum Board Chairman Rob Endicott talking with St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter. The grand opening celebration for the museum begins tomorrow at 10 and continues throughout the day. More details are available at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Valita Brown, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.